hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can catch us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to Spotify, spin it up. whatever you're doing over on Spotify, or not do it on Spotify. I heard some stuff. So
yeah, Spotify is a little shaky.
Yeah, you know how it is.
A little scummy.
All the receipts is coming out. But what is it? twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Drop us a line, controlissuespod@gmail.com. Let us know how you're feeling. What you're seeing out there, what's hot in the streets, what's not in the streets. And we're also on Blue Sky, Control Issues Pod. Find us there. Let us know what you're up to. But in lieu of that, AMC, what have you been up to? How you living?
Not much, my man. Busy week. I said I'd be working on the World Series, and it ended up going. So I said last week that the ideal is a sweep. The next ideal is within five, so a gentleman's sweep. And we got seven long-ass games. Oh, my gosh. It was like, I'm sure people were like, it was the greatest World Series of all time. And I was just like, dude, I worked 6 days this week. And like a full day yesterday. Like, it was no joke. So this week is going to be all about getting my work-life balance back. But yes, I didn't get to really do much. It's on weeks like this, like, it fucks up my workout schedule. So I got in my workout yesterday, didn't get in my Monday workout. And then outside of that, then it's just kind of getting in what I can as far as like me time when there's like little lulls within, you know, like between work and being with the wife, like with the family and shit. So yeah, I got like a little bit of a NBA action in. Like, I was saying to Marissa the other day that I think I've like just become like a fallen Lakers fan. Like, I've always just supported Lakers. I support, you know, I'm one of those proximity people. You support the local LA teams.
Yes.
So if like the Lakers are out, then I'll root for the Clippers. I'm not like hating on the Clippers because like I'm a Lakers fan or whatever. I'll root for the Rams, even though I'm not really a Rams fan, but it's LA, so people want to represent. I'm rooting for the Dodgers, even though that is just ruining my life. Yeah. But root for all of it. And so, yeah, I've like noticed that I'm slowly just getting into more and more like Lakers stuff, like just like shows, podcasts, like things I've been watching. Like, where I'm like, oh, like, because, you know, I listen to the. So the thing is, I've noticed that I've listened to a lot of just more national coverage when it comes to basketball. And because of that, it's very general topic discussions, because they're trying to hit like the most important things that are going on as far as like NBA like news is concerned. But when you get into the local stuff, that's when they get into like the X's and O's and the things about individual bench players that you're never going to hear about in a nationally a televised program. And because of that, it's like all that little nuance is now I'm watching it, and now I'm like, oh, like, this dude is about to come in. Let's see if he's going to get to his spot. Let's see if he's been working on what these dudes have been talking about. And it's a little more of a focused approach, and I'm actually enjoying it. And so for the first time ever, I've usually been the type of person that when I get into sports, I'll jump into kind of the teams that I'm most interested in. So I'll kind of hop around from teams to teams from year to year by the teams that are most interesting. But now to kind of do that while also having a team that I'm kind of solely focused on when it comes to the little intricacies and details, I'm enjoying that. So I've had that going on this week while just doing work stuff, also watching some wrestling. That's always my regular weekly maintenance as far as TV show viewing. But outside of that, not much going on with me, A-Dub. How's that life been for you?
Life hasn't been too bad. Been a little lazy on the working out. At the same token, been handling business. Got myself a little last minute Halloween costume. Got the skeleton onesie out, and had a few things going on, and then went out to the parade for the first time in a long time. So just walked like all the way down Santa Monica. I think I made it a little past. I don't even know what street that is. Like I made it pretty deep. All right,
That's
I
dope,
went.
yeah. And you live like it, because I remember that. Like, luckily we knew, like, was it Noah lived close to it? But when we wanted to go in the past, like, it's like, oh, you got to park like all the way over here. You got to make it, because it's like, it's like one of the biggest. I think they said it's like the biggest, one of the biggest parades around the world, the West Hollywood one. And so you being like right over there, you don't have to worry about any of that. You just walk right up to it and get right in the action.
Took a shower, threw my outfit on, just walked out the door
Yeah.
to finish, polished off my Johnny Walker Black and
Yes.
kept it moving. So yeah, man, went down in that until it just got too dense to move and probably turned around and walked all the way back home. Went out to a bar, saw some old friends, was feeling right. Think I may have gotten a couple of cool conversations, but I was a little too out of my mind to remember
What
anything.
were you dressed up as? I'm sorry if you said it.
Had a skeleton onesie. It just has like a skeleton on the front.
Like the Karate Kid skeleton onesie.
Yeah, but not that
It's
tight.
like,
I
like
was begging. I had the
you didn't want to
hood.
flex on them like
I
that.
had the
I
hood.
get
But
it. Yeah, I get
I
it.
thought about doing the face paint, but
Yeah.
it was, I don't know, I'm not a face paint guy. And I didn't feel like looking around for like my other skeleton mask and my skeleton gloves. I just threw on the onesie. What about my day? Just showing a little bit of the spirit while still keeping it somewhat regular. But yeah, it was a good time. I completely wore myself out for Saturday, so I mostly just laid on the couch writhing in agony as I recovered from all the hanging out and carrying on. That went on at Halloween. I watched Weapons, which I've been meaning to do for a while, and I managed to get down to it. And that movie was
How's
awesome. That
that?
movie, it was awesome. It
Yeah.
was awesome. I like one thing, and it's probably the only thing I'm going to say about the movie that's like substantive, but the way that the story is told is like kind of in parallel from the perspective of the different characters, and I really liked that. It was a pretty original way of telling a horror tale like that, and it was structured well, it was paced well, it always kept you guessing, it always kept presenting you with new information, and it never bothered to explain the big things. Like it showed you what was happening and how it was happening, but it never gives you the why, and I think that's what really drives home the power of the way that whoever this dude is. I think he made Barbarian, and then he made Weapons. So he's killing it. It's 2 for 2 with me. So I think
Yeah.
Weapons was awesome. I also noticed an interesting anime on Crunchyroll. It's called The Reflection, and it's basically about an event that engulfs the globe, like this powerful light and smoke just engulfed the entire planet. Like a lot of people who were exposed to it die, but the people who survive it develop superpowers and they become, heroes or villains. I think the way that the show has described it so far is that most people who were exposed to the reflection and survived have become villains. But there are heroes out there with all kinds of different abilities, and it's got this very interesting old school kind of minimalist slash anime-ish kind of art style to it. I believe it's co-created by Stan Lee, and Stan Lee is in it. It's from 2017,
Oh, okay,
but
I was like, wait a second. The
yeah, I
AI
know
Stanley.
it wasn't adding up. I'll
Yeah.
support the punk ass holograms stealing dead people's jobs. It's fucked up, but But yeah, that so I think it's pretty cool. It's giving a very interesting spin on, superheroes and how things go about in that world. Like it's kind of like a mashup between like X-Men and just a lack of seriousness. And yeah, I don't know, it's like everything all in one, but it's almost poking fun at itself. I think the voice acting is outstanding. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to going back and finishing that. It's called The Reflection. I found it on Crunchyroll. Don't know where else it is. It's dubbed. So yeah. Let me see. What else have I gotten into? I think that's about it.
All right, well, I know you've been gaming because you've been getting it in. We were talking about that in the pre-show, so tell me all about
Yes.
it and what you've been gaming on.
So, if you remember from the last show, I was teasing out the idea that I might pull the trigger on Daemon Ex Machina Titanic Scion. Well, promptly after the show, I pulled the trigger on Daemon Ex Machina Titanic Scion. And I've been playing that all week. I didn't stream any of it because, at first I wanted to get to a point where I thought I was proficient with the game, so the stream would look nice. And then eventually I was just so far into it that I was like, you know what? Sometimes you just gotta have those games for you. And I went ahead and I finished it about a day or so ago. It was a rather substantial experience. There's plenty of stuff to do in the post game. Like there's several kinds of armor pieces and weapons that I haven't unlocked. Just to give you a brief overview of the game, you're like a synthetic being. You're known as an outer. There are humans, and then there's immortals. Immortals are what happens when humans die and their corpses like aren't disposed of properly or something like that. They turn into immortals, which are like techno creatures, like organic cybernetic kind of creatures. And then yeah, and then they can become outers, and I'm probably butchering it. I didn't pay much attention to the story. Admittedly, its presentation wasn't among the best. It was an engaging adventure. It was an engaging story. It's just I didn't give a damn. I thought the characters were cool. I thought the art style was cool. And overall, I had fun with it. I just didn't care much to understand the details. But basically, you play one of these beings called an outer that can't, like, you wear these mech suits. You're not in a mech, you're like a power suit, like Iron Man, and it comes off and it comes on when you go in and out of town. But yeah, it offers you a great deal of freedom. You're able to fly around, run around, leap and bound, and just, make your way through the various open zones that it provides, the various biomes. While you're going through there, you're taking down immortals. You're trying to track down members of the Noin, which are these outers that are really powerful. And they come in and they try to get rid of the humans. And the humans aren't liking that. And the humans have people called reclaimers, which are trying to reclaim the earth from the immortals and the outers. So there are odds going on there, but as an outer, you start working with the humans to combat the other outers and the immortals to hopefully reclaim the world for the human species. So yeah, I believe this franchise is made by some of the former developers on the Armored Core franchise, and you can see the influences and the items that they brought over with them just as, a part of their skill set. But in doing that, they gave the like it's a Armored Core paint job on a more action-oriented game. Like the way that I would describe it is that it's what Elden Ring fans wanted Armored Core to be, to where it's this big open world. You're in your suit, you're flying around, you're running around, you're engaging with enemies as you encounter them or avoiding them. You're opening up your fast travel routes, you're setting up your supply bases, and otherwise just making it easier for you to be able to move through the world, keep your supplies fresh, and just continue to take down bigger and bigger challenges on your way through. The game's pretty pretty lengthy but doesn't overstay its welcome campaign. Like when I'm fighting bosses, every time I'm thinking, okay, here comes the second phase. And then there's not a second phase. It's just one bar. Like you finish a boss, you have finished a boss. You know, some of them come back later, but again, it's just a one-on-one thing and you're probably stronger than you were the last time you took them on. So, you know, overall, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I played a substantial amount of it, but once I rolled the credits and made it to the top of the Coliseum, which is their version of the arena, like what you would find in Armored Core. So once I claimed that rank one, got that championship belt, I was like, I'm good. But it's an awesome game. I would love to come back to it at some point, like noodle away, maybe take on some of the higher end bosses and do like farm the bosses, get the higher end loot. I would love to find a legendary machine gun. So, you know, if I ever come across any information that suggests one might be in there, then I'll probably go hunt that down. And you know, it was a cool game, man. Every decision that you make, all the stat driven equipment pieces, all the weapons and items and things, everything that you incorporate, everything you get used to, it just makes you more powerful, more versatile, and makes the challenges easier to conquer in this game, man. So it's a cool game. If you're into Armored Core, if you're into like the idea of what an Anthem might have been, then check out Deus Ex Machina, Titanic Sion. Other than that, I finally got my hands on the full release of Arc Raiders, and I'm just having a blast with that game, man. The more I play it, the more I get in tune with the experience that one of the various experiences it offers. You know, in order to deal with the whole extraction element, I developed a strategy where I kind of follow the extraction points like as they're expiring, and I come from one that had a higher counter. So I'm like kind of going in the wake of the action, you know, letting all the people who want to PvP it up, you know, scrap it out as much as they want, eliminate each other. If I'm lucky, I'll come across some corpses that I can get some easy loot from. You know, it gives me the freedom to explore locations, take on other side objectives like taking down robots, getting specific resources. And, you know, I could really minimize the PvP aspect by just kind of playing away from where everybody's going. And by the time it's like one or two extraction points left, by then everybody's either gone or dead. So I can usually get to an extraction point. If anybody's left, they were probably doing the same thing and they were just trying to get some resources, throw up the, you know, the don't shoot, hit the proxy chat, let them know you're friendly, and just get out of there. And you know, I've been more successful doing this. I'm opening up new maps. And I gotta tell you, man, especially with the gameplay that we viewed during the pre-show, like this game is just really gunning for my heart and my sensibilities for what I'm into when it comes to a third-person experience in general. Like the shooting is smooth, responsive, reliable. The controls are simple and intuitive. You know, it's not about the extraction element. The more I play, the less it's about the extraction and everything. It's just about getting those objectives done. I can't reiterate enough because I don't think enough people are signal boosting that. And that whole like apprehension toward the extraction element, I feel, is the only hurdle that's preventing people from really getting into this game. You know, don't get me wrong, it's doing very well on its own. You know, it almost hit like 300,000 players on Steam peak concurrent. And yeah, the subreddit is incredibly positive and incredibly strong. And yeah, man, I'm just having a blast with it. Like, it looks awesome. It plays well. The maps are a very good size. And you know, with the way that I adapted my strategy to avoid other players, you could very easily apply it in reverse and chase down other players and get into that kind of situation. You know, I've had a handful of matches all across the gamut, and you know, even when you're avoiding other players, you still might not get out. It's still a tough game with those drones running around, because as that timer ticks down, the longer you wait, it's just the more likely you're gonna get spotted by some patrolling drone. And then once they start landing them shots on you, like that shield melt real quick, that health melt real quick, next thing you know, you're trying to crawl your way to the extract. So, I go with the same advice I gave to people after the server slam. If you can, party up. Get some friends to play, make some friends while you're playing, be friendly. Other people will be friendly back. You might get some homies that you can run with in the future. Yeah, or, if you want to be a jerk, live by it and die by it. But yeah, man, I've been having a blast with Arc Raiders. Really looking forward to diving into more when I get out of here. Because, like, for the past few rounds, I've had this mission where I need to repair this antenna on top of a field depot. The last couple of matches, I found the field depot, but it's every time I found it, I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I end up either extracting or getting killed and forgetting to repair the antenna. So I got to get that done so I can see what my next mission is going to be. I also want to branch out into the different maps that have been opening up as you play more matches. And there's also functions for my raider, like with their upgrades and the various like projects and things that they can do that I still have to unlock as they level up, and getting perks, improving my functionality when I'm out there in the field. It's a blast, man. I recommend people get into it. It's good fun, and it's a game that can, it seems to be able to accommodate whatever kind of experience you're looking for. If you want to be a little rat hiding in the bushes like I do, you can have that experience. If you want to be a headhunter going after everybody else and taking their goods, you can do that. If you want to be a squad of homies, like exploring the map and fending off threats as they come about, you can do that. If you want to go spelunking into the deepest depths and the darkest corners of the map, you can do that too. Like you can have fun. Like it's a good, decent game. I highly recommend it, and it's given me a bit of optimism for Marathon, because if Marathon can do the simple task of being a good extraction shooter, then that alone might be what's necessary to provide for the emergent gameplay and the unpredictability that you're experiencing in something like Arc Raiders. But I reserve judgment until I see and experience more. I tried to get into the marathon test, and for some reason, Bungie's website assumed that my definitely older than 18-year-old PSN account was underaged and didn't let me in. So, all right, I see how it is. Strike one, Bungie. But yeah, other than that, AMC,
They
what a
singled you
beat.
out at
Is he gonna be out? They knew, they knew, they knew.
might come in you and
Nah.
your strong opinions, like, oh, can't
Yeah.
let him in.
Controversy.
Yeah.
AMC, what have you been playing?
So not much this week, as I said, with all the working, but I did get in some Zelda. Did enjoy that. I did play a little bit Overwatch, but it was like maybe like two matches, and I won one and then lost another. I was like, what the fuck? But anyways, mainly played some Zelda. I was right at a boss battle when I left off, so it was nice. Jump right back in. It was right at did the little things I needed to do to kick off the boss battle. Went into that, and it was great. It's like very much a Zelda boss battle where it's figure out the tools to success and then spam that. And once you figure out, like, okay, this is how I hurt the boss and I have to hit him at this moment, you kind of just do that, keep setting it up, and you get through him pretty quickly. And so yeah, did that, took down the boss, got my second sage. And something that I liked, I think I mentioned this last week, but something that I liked about the sages is that I thought initially it was going to be a situation where you get one sage and you can summon him, and he's kind of your companion that's rolling by your side when he and they have special abilities that can help you out within the world, and also they can contribute to the battles. When I got my second sage, I was pleasantly surprised to find out that I actually don't have to switch in between them. I can just keep them with me. So now I got like a squad of two. Who knows? I think there's two more sages. So if I'm rolling around with four just sages along with me as I'm going into these battles, it's going to be an entirely different situation. And I mean that is kind of the purpose of games, that you go in one way, you have that before image of you naked without any weapons, and you're just tossed out into the world, and then by the end of it you got a squad, you're kitted out, you got your legendary master sword, and that's when you're ready to take down Ganon.
Sorry
And so
about
I'm
that.
I didn't hear it. It blocked it out, thankfully. And so
Oh,
yeah, it and so yeah, I got my second sage. So now I got like a little bit of a squad, and you know how much I love my minions. And so yeah, I got that going on. So enjoying that. And what's great about him, each sage, they have their own abilities. So the first one gave me kind of a gust of wind that I could travel on. And the second one, he forms into a boulder, and I can use him to
oh.
break open breakable walls that like might reveal a cave, or even just for like mining efforts, like there'll be little deposits of minerals, and I can break those open with him. And so that saves me on all my hammers and shit that have durability. And so I want to save those for parts where his brute force might be a little too much. He goes in with full force when he's in that boulder mode, and it can just send your resources flying. And so if you're in a situation where the map is pretty open and you send him at like a mineral deposit to break it open, your resources just they spread out, and then you got to find them. So it becomes a little more of a nuisance. So it's a nice enclosed areas to take advantage of that sage. But I did that, and then I did my first monster raid, which is kind of fun. It was pretty simple. Like I saw this group of soldiers, and they'd mentioned that since the upheaval, which was when the islands started flying up into the sky, all these monsters showed up as a result of it. And so now I had heard that there were monster raids being conducted, but I hadn't come across one. And so as I was walking around the world, I see these group of soldiers heading towards a cave. And then I see the icon above them, and I can go and like talk to them and kick off a mission. So I run over, talk to the leader of the squad. He's like, "We're about to go on this monster raid. If you want to join, Link, we know that you're pretty badass." And I was like, "All right, yeah, I'll do this." He was up. So going in, it's great. It's just a bunch of NPCs. You go into a cave. The cave is full of monsters, and it's just a all out just battle royale. Like you just get in
Oh.
there, and you just start fucking up everything. There's items being dropped left and right, and get a reward at the end of it. And they said they're going to go conduct other raids, and I can find them in other areas of the map. So that's gonna be something that's fun to do on the side. Just get my equipment right, and then just go into one of these battle situations and reap the rewards from it. So yeah, Zelda, just all the variety that the game has to offer, just absolutely loving it. I'm pretty sure it's already my favorite Zelda game of all time, and I thought it was going to be one of those situations that would be too samey to Breath of the Wild, but they really added a lot to this and changed it up in a way that it feels fresh and just feels like an evolution of what that game was. And so I'm so happy that I decided to take this break and play Tears of the Kingdom over another new game that came out this year. But that's all I got there, A-Dub. Let's take a break, and we will come back with our first topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
Week? All right, we are back, A-Dub. You break us off with that first topic of the week.
Topic of the week. We're gonna ease you in slow, get you through the beginning of November, because Sony has confirmed the PlayStation Plus monthly games for the month of November 2025. Keep it short and sweet. We're getting EA Sports WRC 24 for PS5. We're getting Stray for PS4 and PS5. We're also getting Totally Accurate Battle Simulator for PS4 and PS5. I will say Stray was a game that I definitely admired and respected when it was revealed. It was received well. I never got into it, but with it being on Plus, I will definitely add that to my library. But the big one here for me is Totally Accurate Battle Simulator. I believe I showed this to the AMC at one point in one of the shows in the past. It's been out for a hot minute, but it's like a real-time strategy where you just send in different combinations of units and you just watch this physics-based combat take place as they whittle each other down until only one is left standing, or one side remains. EA Sports WRC24. Is that a racing game? Let me click a little deeper here. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it
I'm
looks like rally
guessing.
car.
Yes. Interesting. I got Grand Theft, not Grand Theft Auto. I got Gran Turismo. I'm looking at the IGN review. They gave it a 6. So I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a shot. Who knows? The more racing games, the better.
The 6 might as well be a 0.
They gave us nothing. It may as well have been an empty case. Oh, yeah. But AMC, can I get your thoughts on the November offerings?
Trying to pull up this totally accurate battle simulator so I can get a refresher, but my phone started bugging out. But
It's silly, dude. It's so silly.
but we all know Stray. Stray is one of those ones that I think people thoroughly enjoyed when it first came out, at least the idea of it. It might have been the first of like the wave of kitty games that we've been getting
Kitty game.
recently.
It's the kitty game that legitimized the genre because I believe Cat Quest was ruling the roost for a while.
Yeah, and that was like that was you're a cat character, whereas this one is like you're straight up kitty, just walking around the world in your kittiness, doing kitty stuff, and I guess platforming as a kitty.
And
So,
then Little
but
Kitty Big City came.
yeah, exactly. And I believe this it launched on PlayStation subscription service, so that was one of those things like, oh, we're getting day and date games on here. But yeah, people seem to enjoy it. I have been interested in it since it was announced. It wasn't a game that I necessarily would have ever bought, but having it handed over to me through the means of PS Plus, I will certainly not turn it down. I want to look up this totally accurate battle simulator game that is on here. I'll probably just add it, or I'll watch a clip of it and then decide if I add it from there. As far as that WRC game goes, I mean, 6 out of 10 doesn't sound good, but ultimately, not a big racing guy. I wonder if, because I always felt like EA, and maybe it's not EA, but they made Dirt, and Dirt was kind of the big one in that series. I believe they always get like great scores too, the Dirt games. And so I'm not sure if this is a rival to Dirt or if this is the what became of Dirt, but I'm not interested in this Dirt. So
I
I'll
want to
pass on
say
it.
Dirt was like okay. I enjoyed it
Yeah.
for a while, but then it starts throwing the races at you where there's like a trip to it, or you just gotta be so on top of the mechanics. There's no reason I should be losing by like a minute in a curated race. That doesn't make any sense, but whatever. Maybe I'm the problem. Could be user error. I'm not just gonna blame the developers for everything. But until I figure that out, I ain't fucking with you.
Yeah, so I don't mess with racing games as it is, so it's not on my radar at all. The big one right here looks like it'd be Stray, and with a honorable mention to totally with tabs is what we'll call it.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll keep an eye on that one. Maybe I'll add it in once I see that gameplay footage. How about yourself, Ada? What are the how are you viewing this month? How would you rate it overall out of a 10, all the games combined?
Out of a 10, I gotta
Out of
describe
a
my number.
10, yeah.
I mean, at least a 7, maybe 7.5, because Stray, that's the highlight there. Totally accurate battle simulator, that's something, if you're into that kind of thing, then you'll be into that kind of thing. But if you're not into it, which I doubt many people, too many people are, then it's just another consumed slot. And what could have been an offering that would have had a bit more mass appeal. So 7.5. But we're coming off what could be described as a 9 or even a 10 month. So PS Plus, the ebbs and flows, you take it as it goes. But AMC, you got our next topic of the week, top topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. So this story by way of Video Games Chronicles, we have a, I guess, a slight update, if you believe him, as far as Phil Spencer with Forza Motorsport. So the article is titled, Forza Motorsport is taking a backseat as Xbox focuses on games releasing sooner. So in an interview with Famitsu, which took place before the announcement that a remake of the first Halo is coming to all formats, Spencer was asked if Halo and Forza Motorsports series had come to an end. He said no in that interview, so he seems to be telling the truth, Adele, because Halo came out like a week later at the interview. Yeah, as far as Forza Motorsport, I took out the Halo part since we know that that's in existence. Turning to Forza Motorsports, Spencer acknowledged that around half of its studio, Turn 10, had been laid off as part of sweeping cuts made at Microsoft in July, and explained that while the series is still active, development is going at a slower pace while Xbox pays more attention to games nearing completion. Regarding Forza Motorsports, sometimes we need to shift focus to games that need to ship sooner. We understand the reaction many had when we scaled back Turn 10 Studios. We have many games that we want to support with care, and sometimes we give development teams more time to avoid putting them under constraint and strain. Our current structure with multiple studios allows for this flexibility. Xbox Studios encompasses over 20 studios, each with multiple games in development and each requiring different levels of support. Ugh. Some projects require a short-term focus, while others demand medium to long-term perspective. We genuinely want the games we publish to succeed. Xbox Studios has numerous titles in development, so please stay tuned for what's coming. Shut your pie holes, you fucks, and eat it when we serve it to you. That's what he said in the interview, but they left that part out. he turns mafia.
That corporate speak.
Yeah. So, A Dub, I guess, do you believe Phil Spencer? He's saying basically that it's not Forza Motorsport isn't dead. They had the layoffs, and we want them to support Horizon for right now, but while they're doing that, they're working on their game, and we're giving them plenty of time so that down the line we can drop another hot Forza Motorsport. He did mention 20 studios in development, so maybe there's an idea that they shift personnel around as they see fit. So, what do you think about Phil Spencer and his candidness about Forza Motorsport?
What personnel are they shifting around? Like, didn't they gut the studio and turn it into a support studio for Playground?
Well, the idea is he
I thought that
says they
was the
have
whole
they
issue.
well the idea is they have 20 studios in development, and they basically shift their focus around as their games get closer and closer to completion. So the idea that Forza Motorsport was gutted for right now as their game is far out from development, but then as it starts getting closer to that time of releasing, then they start shifting more personnel from other studios to then help them out. Do you believe this idea?
Yeah, that sounds like something they would do, but because it's like, I can't help but see it as kind of punishing the motorsport team to where they're not there anymore, and then they're just gonna have other studios come back and take over the IP, which, if you just want to play Forza Motorsport, then at least there's a window by which another one can come along, or at least support for the existing one can continue to come down. But I don't know. It doesn't feel right just having that project handed. I mean, people did complain a lot about motorsport, and that was reflected in the sales and the engagement. The team had to come and do a complete overhaul, and people still complained about that. So, I mean,
Did you
if the
enjoy
people
the RPG mechanics and
didn't enjoy the
Motorsport?
RPG mechanics, so that had to go, and it was a substantial overhaul that they did to try to bring people back to motorsport. So I don't know if people didn't like what they were doing, then I suppose it does make sense that they don't get to do it anymore. So I don't know. It's up in the air. So then, we got to see what's going to come from this new strategy, what level of quality it's going to achieve, what level of customer satisfaction it's going to achieve. But at the same token, I think consumers also need to have a little bit of an open mind and at least let them do something before we start just doom casting everything the way things normally go. So, they're trying to come at it fresh. Let's give them a fresh chance to come at it.
Yeah.
AMC, how about yourself?
I mean, maybe Forza Motorsport wasn't hitting that 30% profit margin that Satya also wants from Xbox.
Jeez.
I'm not sure. I do understand that they have. I mean, you have 20 studios. That is an insane amount of personnel. I imagine that's working on just a shit ton of games, and so it does make sense that. I mean, you look at like GTA, not GTA, Gran Turismo, and how often. And by how often, I mean how far and few between that they release as of late. And so they could look at it, Forza Motorsport, as one of those properties was like, well, look, we're only going to release one of these like once every, I don't know, every 10 years or so. And so if you're in the pre-alpha phase of development, then we should basically minimize the studio in a way where we have people working on it in the long run while mainly focusing on supporting other games so that they can all hit their marks. And I guess if this approach of shifting around studios to support and then become primary studios once they have their game ready to go, and then as their game ships, then they become a support studio. If that leads to a steady cadence of games releasing for the publisher, then I understand that. But I think as you were possibly alluding to is the idea that if you have people shifting around constantly, then how does the identity of the studio kind of stay intact as they're constantly shifting their roles? And so that will be interesting to see. But I guess the big thing here is a lot of people thought that when the studio was gutted, that meant the death of motorsport. Whereas I think from Xbox perspective, they probably have so much IP now between what they've gained from what Bethesda, Activision, their own studios,
Id
Obsidian. So they have so many
in
IPs that
exile.
they can always put one on the back burner and then release it at like a couple years from now and get that whole nostalgia thing going on, much like how they're doing with Halo Remake. And so we shall see how this approach works. But yeah, I just wanted to get that update in because people thought that franchise was murdered, murdered, murdered. That's all I got there. Hey, Dev, let's take a break and we will come back with more topics of the week.
Topics of the
Of the
week.
week. All right, we are back. Hey, Dove, you want to break us off with that next topic of the week?
Topic of the week. Don't mind if I do, AMC, because Xbox hitting us with the next slate of games we can expect coming to the platform with the ID at Xbox Showcase for October. Adam Bankhurst over at IGN giving us everything announced, but we'll just touch on the things that we found most interesting. I will go first. Excuse me. Sorry to got a little gas, but let me see. Let me find something I was particularly interested in that
You want to
stood out
talk
to
about
me.
33 Immortals and
No, I don't want to talk about 33 Immortals.
Yeah,
See that I didn't even know that game was out at this point. They had cool stuff there, like Planet Lana 2. 33 Immortals, we got another look at Aphelion, the game that if you forgot by now, is, as I can describe it, the Black Lady space game where she's stranded on an alien planet trying to survive the natural and sometimes unnatural hazards that are in her way as she, tries to figure out a way to get off the planet. We got treated to a new trailer that shows off a second astronaut, a Caucasian man. I don't recall being mentioned or shown in the first trailer, so that's interesting. I highly doubt that's in response to anything. So let's not make any big deals about stuff. But I thought it was interesting. I was ready for just the Black Lady to have a space game on herself.
Let it shine on her own, the solo game.
But I'm down to see what Don't Nod is bringing to the table because it's still a very interesting game. I like the scenes and the landscapes that it presents. I like the idea that it's more puzzle driven and somewhat realistic rather than the fantastical, having boost packs and dashing and dodging and bullet helling and picking up alien guns and stuff. I love me some Returnal, but you need different kinds of space lady games. So this is a different type. I'm excited about it. AMC, how did you feel about what we saw for Aphelion?
I was happy to see that there'll be somebody for more people to relate to when it comes to the story of this game and the narrative. I finally understand at least somebody's perspective in this world.
Yes.
No, yeah, it's cool. I thought it was going to be a, you know, that a solo adventure where you're very much like it's just you and you're handling business, surviving all by yourself, by myself.
I was so ready.
You're ready to put people to night night. But yeah, no, it's cool. You got more than one person, and that'll add lend to more perspectives. And we're interesting to see how their stories are connected in this situation. So I like it. The game seems to be like one thing I will say about this ID at Xbox event is there are games that I saw here that I thought were pretty one dimension. No, I'll say one dimensional as far as like what I had thought they were going to be, and it ended up showing that no, these games are a little bit more than we've given you so far, which is all part of marketing, AW. You don't give them all at once, even though people are like,
Yes.
"Tell me everything. I want all the details." It would have been a great announcement, but you didn't give me the price or the date. So, and all the characters and their backlogs and who are all the actors. So yeah, it was a failure of an announcement. But yeah, as we get more, they're showing that there's more to these games and specifically to this one. I'm liking what they showed here, and that's all I'll say with that one. Gonna keep it moving. I got the next one, A-Dub.
All right.
This one, I wrote it down immediately for a game that I might want to purchase down the line. This one called Dome Keeper. Protect that dome, A-Dub.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
protect the dome. So yeah, this is the write-up by Xbox. On December 9th, Raw Fury's fan favorite Dome Keeper is coming to Xbox Series X and S, Xbox on PC, Xbox Cloud Gaming, Xbox Play Anywhere. Oh, you get it on that ROG. And Xbox Game Pass. Let's see. So, defend against waves of alien monsters in this unique roguelike action mining game. Use your drill to dig out tunnels and explore the depths of beneath your dome. Each run has its own procedurally generated map filled with resources, gadgets, caves to discover, and no set pieces. Ugh. But be careful. You must come back to the surface and protect your dome before the monsters destroy it. Yeah, this game. Immediately, the first thing I saw is the art style. It had like a very retro look to it, which was already pulling me in. Then you see you got that dig dug aspect where you're going underground, mining them resources, getting what you can, and then all of a sudden it hops over and you're in this like defense thing. What game did you compare it to? Defender?
Kind of like, yeah, Defender or whichever one where you have like the city skyline at the bottom of the screen, and there's like aliens and asteroids falling in from the sky above, and you're sending out
Yeah.
lasers that are
Yeah, I
causing the
think.
explosions. It's like area of effect. So
Yeah, I
everything
think I played
touches
a
it.
version of that where it's like missiles were falling down. You gotta take them out before like they hit like the little areas of the map, like a missile defense game. But
Is
yeah,
it
similar
Missile
style.
Command?
I think that might have been a game. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking about, I think. And so yeah, when I saw that there was the two phases, because one, I always love these style of games, whether it's was it Moon Knighter where you go into the is it Moon Knight? Where you go into the
Moonlighter, where you got the shot by
Moonlighter.
day and then you dungeon crawl by night.
Yeah, and then even the game that I absolutely loved, Dave's, fuck man, I'm forgetting all the
Dave the
names.
Diver.
Dave the Diver, where you're going fishing, and then you come back, you run the restaurant by night. And this one, it's like you go, you collect your resources, but then you got to get back and you got to protect your dome before all the aliens come in and take you out from above. So I like the two phases of the roguelike experience. I like the art style. This is one of those ones that I can see being really fun when I learn more about it, especially with these gadgets and resources and caves to discover. How about yourself, Ada? What'd you think when you saw Dome Keeper?
It definitely won me over with the retro sci-fi aesthetic. You know, I got a soft spot for that. And yeah, I like the blend of mechanics as you described. At 1 minute you got the dome, you're defending it from everything that's trying to come in and penetrate. Next minute you're underground, you dig dug your way through the ground trying to find all your resources and your power-ups that you use to improve your dome, improve your defenses, and just continue to perpetuate that cycle. You know, I'm a sucker for a roguelite, so I'll definitely be keeping my eye on Dome Keeper. I'm gonna see if I could wish list it. Whenever I see the games that I know are going to be in my library. I throw them on that wish list. Just wait. Just wait till I get that notification. Like, ah, it's on sale. Oh, it's ready for pre-order. It's ready. But yeah, let me get the next one here. This one appealed directly to my taste. Darkwood 2 was revealed. If you guys know the original Darkwood, I tried to get down with it in years past, but it was just a little too cryptic, a little too mysterious for me to fully understand. You know, since I put it down, it's gotten like a, I think it's gotten a native PS5 version, which I was able to upgrade to, you know, higher resolution, probably more stable performance or whatever. You know, it's a top-down pixelated game. It was in black and white with the, you know, hits of color where necessary to punctuate or emphasize certain things. However, Darkwood 2 is a top-down horror survival game that takes place in the former Aral Seas in the 1990s, 10 years after an accident. Players will need to explore a dying sea to gather resources and establish a base while waiting for the relief of daybreak. Yeah. So in Darkwood, you know, the dark and the wood are very indicative of the experience. The sun comes out and the sun goes down. And when it gets dark, you're in the woods. You never know what's going to come out the woods, what's going to come out the shadows. So, you know, by day you're exploring, gathering resources, but by night you gotta fortify wherever it is that you're trying to hold up until the sun comes back up, and you gotta protect it from all the various beings that are trying to enter the house any way that they possibly can. And it gets crazy, especially when you don't have a light source or you don't have anything else going on for yourself. So Darkwood 2, it's definitely on my radar. I need to go back to the original and try to push that over the line. AMC, how do you feel about Darkwood 2?
Like dope, not a game that was for me, but when I saw it on me, it was like, oh, I'll say this is an A dub game.
For
I think I even
sure.
said it out loud, and it looked dope. Like, I like that. Always, first of all, I see top down view, I'm immediately like, oh, and this is the one where he was like rowing in the boat with the light, right? So yeah,
Rowing in the
that,
boat with the light, it's in color.
yeah, it's yeah, so there's a lot going on aesthetically that I was having, I was fucking with when it came to this game. And yeah, but it's got rogue and survival, not rogue, but it has horror and survival elements that don't appeal to my sensibilities, so it wouldn't necessarily be something I'd be interested in. But you throw it up on the stream, I'm definitely checking it out and seeing what's going on. But that's about as much of an experience I'd have with that game on a personal level. But I'll keep it moving, Adub. The next thing that caught my eye looked interesting. We got an update for Invincible Versus. So this coming by Xbox Wire. We got a closer look at the newest characters announced for the 3v3 tag fighting game, Invincible Versus. Watch out, Tokon. We got a new game coming. Joining the roster is Robot, a super genius drone turned human, and Monster Girl, a cursed woman able to transform into a giant humanoid monster who ages backwards in the process. Both devastating forces on the battlefield, Robot utilizes explosive missiles to keep his foe at a distance, while Monster Girl gets all up in your shit and gets right up in your opponent's face with a variety of brutal combos and grapple attacks. In a special Halloween-themed trailer, we see both characters in action, showcasing the immense power they bring to every fight. There is a closed alpha for the title and for November 21st to the 24th, which you can apply for here, which I don't have a thing for you to click on by listening to the show. Invincible Versus is coming to Xbox Series X and S, Xbox on PC, Xbox Cloud, as in Xbox Play, anywhere title in 2026. You can get it on your ROG, take it on the go. So yeah, what do you, A Dub? I know as a fan of Invincible, you're very familiar with these characters. So who you throwing out there? You got Robot or you got Monster Girl? Who's making your 3v3 tag team?
Well, you know, I gotta run with Monster Girl because she is something else on that show, man. It's a big deal. Gotta run with your man Cecil. Because he's bringing out the gadgets, he's bringing out the tools, he's teleporting, he's talking shit, he's apathetic, he's completely locked in. And maybe Adam Eve.
Yeah. So as we've seen more of this game, how you think the game's coming along? Like you're seeing it as a very serious fighter that could contend with Tokkan and like the Mortal Kombats of the world, or you think this is going to be something that finds its home just within its invincible audience?
Well, I don't know enough about like the feel and how to properly assess a fighting game from just watching a video. So I do know how good a fighting game can feel, and it looks like Invincible has that on lock. You know how it would stack up against others. Not entirely sure because I've always heard good things about Arc Studios and the Guilty Gear franchise and. Damn, there was another one. It was like blue
Blaze
something.
Blue.
Blast Blue. Blast Blue, Guilty Gear, all that stuff. So, they've been holding it down. Didn't they do Fighter Z? Dragon Ball
Let's
Fighter Z?
see. Dragon Ball Fighter Z. Keep talking and I'll have that for
Dragon
you.
Ball Fighter Z, keep talking. Yeah,
Yep.
but I feel like they did that. But, it's.
Yeah,
In
the
different
by arc system
flavors.
works. Yeah.
See, I know I'd be knowing,
That
but
pedigree.
yes, yeah. But Arc Systems—they make good fighters. The whoever it is, what is it, Neverwinter or something behind
Mortal
Ravensoft or something?
Kombat.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat. I forget exactly who's. As you can see, fighting game aficionado all day. But it looks competent. It looks combo heavy. It looks technical. It looks tight, like it looks closer to a Street Fighter kind of situation insofar as like the balance and the timing of the moves. And me, I'm an Injustice man, so I'm leaning more toward that Mortal Kombat kind of style, that greater fluidity and greater like motion and cinematography when it comes to the combos and the moves. But I respect the other style, the tighter, more technical style. So I think Invincible is going to have a place. It looks like it's ready for you, man. Sonic Fox to run up in there and do what he does very easy. Looks like he can just slide right into Evo, no issue.
Get wax on there.
And my man Waxel, I gotta track down more clips of old Waxel just waxeling the competition. But AMC, how did you feel about Invincible?
Yeah, I thought it looked dope. I mean, fighters have just been kind of on point outside of like those anime fighters. But these fighters have been on
All
point
those
as of
arena
late.
fighters.
Yeah, whatever that shit is, it's going on. Yeah, like this one, it had like just all the things that you would expect of a fighter, like comboing with 3v3 tag. You're calling in the support to add to the combo or extend the combo. So it has a lot of things going on there. And on top of that, like as you were discussing, there seems to be the care for the franchise and the characters and how they made certain things work, especially when we were checking out some of that Cecil gameplay and he was teleporting and gunning and doing everything that he could humanly do possible given the opposition that he's going up against. And it made sense for his play style based on his character that we've seen in the show. And so yeah, I think that they seem to have a grasp of the source material, and they're implementing it well into the fighting style, which is, I think, one of the things that really sells you when you're jumping into these types of experiences. And so, yeah, I think this game will be a one of those ones that does show up in a way at Evo, or I don't know what they're calling it or who owns it these days, but in these esports tournaments, fighting tournaments. And yeah, so I think this is going to be one of the ones that makes a splash once it comes out. I know there's a lot of focus on Token, but I think Invincible might have something to say once it hits the markets. Anything else that caught your eye, Dub?
Yeah, just adding to your question about who owns Evo and what's going on with that. I recall a story, and I just found the headline where Sony sold their ownership stake in Evo to Not Win Gaming, and this was back in August.
To not win gaming,
Not Win,
not win gaming. Are they one of
yes.
those questionable? organizations.
Aren't they all questionable?
Let's
But
see.
yeah, so Sony's not the owner of Evo anymore, but hey, the truck keeps driving. But yeah, man, it's pretty interesting. I'm looking at it, and I was gonna say something and I completely forgot. So I'm gonna just tell you about this next game that I've been looking at. Here we go. Oasis. Now, this game was one of those like unique, kind of charming original products that I tend to just give the insta pass to. A headline says Oasis gameplay trailer teases the world's best dungeon brawler, parentheses. Step right into the world's best dungeon brawler known as Oasis, which comes complete with physics-driven combat, 1 to 4 player co-op, cunning AI, local and online PvP, fearless frogs, and much more. AMC, as you described it a little bit, it's got that gang beast in it. Like it's kind of like gang beasts with swords and things like that. So they mentioned the physics-based combat, and that's exactly what's going on. Like they're swinging these swords and they have mass, they have momentum, so when they're hitting things, they're clashing against the other swords, but they're launching enemies, like just enemies, other players, just launching them into walls, launching them over ledges, even like moving your player in certain ways if you swing it, depending on how you swing it. So I think it's an interesting one that people should check out. It looks very original, very charming, has like little, gives me just little Chrono Trigger vibes here and there, even though it isn't a turn-based RPG of any sort. It's more of a dungeon crawler presented kind of just like Gang Beasts with swords, basically. But AMC, how did you feel about Oasis and its charming characters and its physics-based combat?
Yeah, the physics-based combat is where it got me. Anytime I see these types of games, it just seems like it lends to a more fun element because of just the zaniness of physics-based. Like we'll always talk about our love of like the early days of the Euphoria engine, and then seeing certain games like the GTAs, and then
The
what's
Force
it? Force
Unleashed.
Unleashed. Yeah, where you're tossing stormtroopers and their bodies are just flailing as they fly across the map. And yeah, there's just so many games that really leaned into that. And I like that this is kind of a staple for certain genres. And it works. I haven't had any version of these where you're sword dueling, so that adds another element to how you wield and control your weapon, which I think just adds to the whole fun of it. And as I was watching it, I liked it. It seemed like there's a whole competitive aspect as you're moving through the map. Like I don't know if you're racing or what the hell is going on, but like it seems like there's a lot of just fun group play to be had. And it just takes me back to the days with you and Doomgaze and having our nights of just gaming on games like this. And so yeah, I could see people just jumping into that
Yeah,
and having a
man.
great time.
Remember Sports Friends?
Oh my gosh, Sports Friends was so good. So they play
Yep. The
that Dajima. Yeah, that was so good. So many of those
those were
great
great
games.
times.
Yeah, just
Great times.
games put out to have fun on your couch with the homies. This is the last one I have. We got a deep dive into Mouse PI for Hire.
Yes, we
Developed
did.
by Fumi Games, Mouse PI for Hire is an action-packed first-person shooter that draws inspiration from the classic cartoons of the 1930s. They got that bounce. Hand-drawn rubber hose animation, a thrilling noir-fueled detective story, cartoon weapons and power-ups, the game has it all. The Xbox team visited the studio to take a deep dive and look at the game. And this deep dive go behind the scenes with Fumi Games for a closer look at this highly anticipated first-person shooter. And they just say a bunch of shit. And the game comes out on March 19th, 2026. So yeah, I brought this up because this is a game that I've been looking at, and there's a part of me that respects it, but I've kind of kept it at a distance as far as like a game that I would be interested in buying. But after seeing this and seeing its breakdown, this is a game that I immediately put on my list as a game that I'm gonna keep an eye on and probably pick up in the future. They showed a lot more. I knew that it was a first-person shooter in the setting, and that's like what was selling me on this point so far. But once we got the deep dive, then we saw that There's one, a whole host of weapons that you can pick up, all very different. You got your pistol, you got your shotgun, you even got like a freezing ray. You got like a mental weapon where you shoot somebody and then they grab their head and it explodes. We have like what's it, rocket launcher or something along those lines. And there's a ton of other weapons that it look like you can also pick up. On top of that, much like I like in the Doom games is that you can level up your weapon, and it showed that I believe like every weapon has two levels of upgrades to them. So there's that whole aspect of getting your weapons and like not personalizing them, but beefing them up so you don't just get them and that's all you have. Like you actually get to grow with them. They also got into the fact that there is a lot of like just moving about the world and talking to people. So it's not just you go through the game and you're just a shooter, like straight up like Doom. Like there's a whole open world aspect to it that adds to the detective story element of the game. So just it gives you a world that is more worth exploring as opposed to a corridor shooter in this art style. So it just seems like there's a lot more game here than I initially had given it credit for. And because of that, I now want to see exactly everything that this has to offer. What did you think of this breakdown of Mouse PI for Hire A-Dub?
I think this was the deep dive that the game needed in order to explain to people why it was, worth the attention and worth their time. Up until this point, at least personally, I always saw this game, but it was just like, okay, a first person shooter in the 30s Disney style. Like, yeah, it looks cool, but there's gonna need to be something more there in order to make this a reasonable draw. And this deep dive showed exactly what that is. And it is definitely more than a reasonable draw. They got a world map, AMC. They got a little truck you can drive around in the world map. They said it's anywhere. They said there's 10 biomes, and each biome has anywhere from 1 to 4 levels. So there's definitely a number of stages that you're going to be engaging with. You're going to be dealing with tough issues. The population of the world is mice, shrews, and rats, and you see the shrews being treated very unfairly. So you can do with that what you will, but it might be some uncomfortable conversations when somebody walks in, see you play this game,
You see
and
like
see
the
these
police
people
just beating down that shrew, like what
just
is happening?
beating them, taking turns. It was
Yeah.
ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it's got that going for itself. Like you noted earlier, it's got the weapon upgrade system, which if for me personally, when you have a weapon upgrade system, I feel like at this stage of game development, it has to be reflected cosmetically. So I'm hoping that as you upgrade that weapon, you start to see a visual reflection of said upgrade in the game itself, so that it isn't just number go up. It's all like my number goes up and it looks like my number went up. So your number's up. That kind of stuff. So it's got that going on. It's absolutely gory. It's bringing smart solutions to accommodate its grayscale black and white aesthetic, whereby everyone's familiar with the yellow paint in video games these days. So with them having a black and white
Yeah,
game, they can't exactly do yellow paint. So they've
hand
done
only.
they've given heavier line weight and a bit more lighting to items and things that the player should consider interacting with as they progress through the adventure. You're a detective, you're looking for clues, you're putting things together. They got quite a game here, man. And I was saying in the pre-show when we were watching this trailer that, like, I think we might be seeing the last of the Eurojank days. Like, we may be reaching an era where these Euro games are coming to market. They're polished. They run great, and they're original. They're fully featured. They're content rich. Like, yeah, things are looking up if you look in the right places. There's a lot of bad stuff happening, but we gotta appreciate the good along with it. So yeah, Mouse PI, I got my eye on you.
You got anything
Well, let me
else
see.
for this
Do I
week?
have anything else? I mean, I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention Agni, Village of Calamity. I was completely wrong about what country it might be from because it is an Indonesian horror game that's as terrifying as it is beautiful. Right, IGN. Agni, Village of Calamity is an upcoming Indonesian horror game that follows Agni, an investigator from a covert Indonesian police unit who goes against her orders and goes to a remote village despite terrifying warnings. The trailer is horrifying, complete with a head on a table, some horrifying monsters that will do what they can to stop you in your tracks, and a tease of Dr. Joko Anwar appearing as the headman. So this one at first, when the trailer started rolling, it looked a little boring, looked a little uninteresting. But once the conflict started to occur and then the supernatural elements came in, they started to show the breadth of what was going on. Because first, it's a woman with a head wrap, it's subtitled, they're speaking Indonesian. I hope that's what language they were speaking, just for the sake of accuracy. But they got all that going. And then, she's got a gun and she's running. She's like got a bleeding wound for some reason. Some dudes like that are like a mannequin is just slugging her in the face, holding her on the ground. And then like a giant, like skinless monster is speaking to her with a baby voice. And it gets pretty crazy. So I'm the horror game dude. This caught my attention, and it's something that I'm going to be at least hoping that they stick the landing on before I get into it. But AMC, you not being the horror guy, how did you feel about Agni, Village of Calamity?
I mean, obviously not a game for me, but it did look different. I like that it was reflective of the region as far as I'm guessing the language, but also, the characters in a headscarf. I'm sure if that was a Western game, people would be like, but like, it comes from there.
Sharia law.
Yeah, that comes from another region, so we'll respect it, like. And so yeah, I'm interested to see like what we were talking about, like with Europe in a pre-show. We were talking about, like, with Europe getting rid of some of the Eurojank you said, and then Indonesia having games, obviously games coming from China and Korea, like with more regions, it kind of drowns out the homogenization of the things that people complain about with games, because each region kind of has their own approach. As they take inspiration from other games, they still have their own approach and tastes that they add a little bit, as they add their own flair to the games. And so because of that, I think that's a good thing, because it gives less weight to the argument that, once something's bad, it's a sign of everything that's wrong with the industry. As there's more variety, you can only say that that's an aspect of the industry, but it's not the reflective of the entire industry. And so yeah, just seeing this game and seeing how it was different, but also still leaning into a lot of the tropes that we enjoy from the genre, the horror genre. I think this game might make a splash if it hits in the right way, and it doesn't have any of the jank that might come along with some horror games that have held them back in the past. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about this and hearing people's reactions to these characters, because it seemed pretty cool. But
Well,
that's all I got there.
you want to hear some people's reactions, I got a few selections for you. You got Troll of the Week,
Weak,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the Week,
weak,
Week, Week,
weak,
Week,
weak,
Week, Week,
weak,
Week,
weak,
Week,
weak.
Week, 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 Troll of the Week. Coming at you, coming sideways at ID at Xbox because people just can't enjoy anything anymore. First Troll says, crap. Just a garbage lineup of games, if you can even call them that. Yeah, we can't call them that. Call yourself an Uber and get the hell out of here. Next Troll says, lame lineup as hell. Yo, lame grammar and syntax as hell. Next Troll says, sad times to see Xbox fall in the way Sega did. I mean, Xbox still standing, man. They may not They may not be killing it right now, but they ain't dead. They still got tricks up their
I
sleeve.
mean, and I would say like Sega, obviously they don't have a console, so that is sad, but they are making Persona, or at least publishing it. They are publishing Metaphor: ReFantazio. They got all the, what is it, the damn, what's the name? Yakuza games. So
Oh yeah,
as far as a
all the
publisher,
RGG games.
yeah. So as far as a publisher, Sega is absolutely killing it. But yeah, I get it. It's they're not what they used to be, so they'll always be a shell of what they were. But yeah, let's not act like they're just a bunch of scrubs putting out jank right now.
Like Sega would love to have Microsoft's stable of studios and their portfolio of IPs. Like, come on now. If Sega had all that back when it had its most critical moment, we'd probably be on Dreamcast 5 by now. But whatever. Last show says, remember when games used to be good? These are all just meh. So I don't know what to say to these trolls, man. It's like you can't show them anything original. You can't show them anything that's a sequel. You can't show them anything that's a remake or a remaster. You can't show them anything that's a reboot or a reimagining. You just can't show them anything. So I don't know why they keep showing up. AMC, you got anything for these trolls?
Nah, I got nothing. I mean, if they showed up to that event and saw nothing that they liked, it's probably gonna have a bunch of games that definitely won't be $80 or $70, if that. So, I mean, all within the price range that's right up that fits your pocketbook. So, I mean, this is exactly where you need to be if you're looking to be excited about the future of gaming. And so, if you saw nothing great here, then, as I always say, you might need to look into a new hobby.
How can you not see all these original ideas, all these risks, all these guaranteed to be like $50 or less games, and all the things that people say they want? But nah, y'all want AAA to do that. See, that's the quiet part they're not saying out loud, but I'm saying it right here. Troll of the
Another
week,
week,
troll of the
chill out a
week,
week,
troll of the
chill out a
week,
week,
troll of the
chill out a
week,
week,
troll of the
week.
week, 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 week. Yeah, get your indie games. Like, look at this, the hot mouse PI. How are you gonna tell me that's not worth the attention at the very least? How are you gonna tell me that none of them get? How are you gonna tell me Oasis isn't worth attention? Like, do you want to have fun? Like, do you know how to have fun? I don't know, man. I got too many great things to play. I'm glad I finished a game this past week. So just makes that backlog just a little bit lighter. AMC, any final words?
You just need to go out there, buy some new games. One of the best years in gaming. You got plenty you can go back to and play right before the game of the year. But to say that anything is lacking right now in gaming, I think it's you that's lacking. This is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
You are control issues. Thanks for playing.
Sucker.